Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And it's the countdown to FOBAB. We are, from this day of recording, what, 8 days? 9 days.
Yeah, the FOBAB to go. It's what, 6 packs are on sale?
Okay.
And yeah, it's coming, man. FOBAB is almost here. The 12th and the 13th, man. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, we'll be there the 13th, Saturday the 13th.
So this will be the first time. This is the 19th year. Oh, wow.
Damn.
Okay. You've been all 19?
No, because the first one wasn't in, like, Pete Crowley's garage.
Yeah.
Or, like, it was something real low-key.
That's true, and they thought it was a hoax or something. People thought it was an April Fool's joke or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I want to say it's been at Goose Wrigley. Or was, am I confusing that with Night of Living Ales?
Probably Night of Living Ales.
That Night of Living Ales for sure been there.
But it was, at one point, upstairs at...
Rock Bottom.
Rock Bottom.
Yeah.
I never went to that.
No.
The first one I went to was at the Plumbers Hall.
Same. Yeah, same.
And I don't even know what year that was. I'd have to go back. When did you shoot the video at...
Skyline in Bridgeport?
Yeah. Was that for the 10th?
Yes. Oh, wow. That was 10 years ago?
No, 9.
Oh, well, 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was its... First, was it its first time there?
Yeah, it did it. It was there twice, I think.
Okay, so then I had gone to, I want to say, 3 plumber unions. So
okay.
I've been going since 7.
Okay. No, I don't think I went
6
like
or 7.
10. It had to be maybe even 11. 2010 or 2011 was my first one.
Okay.
At Plumbers Hall.
So you only like 1 at Plumbers Hall?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Bridgeport, man, people get stuck. I still remember the elevators.
People getting stuck in there.
Yeah, people got stuck in the elevators, and yeah, that was, yeah.
So, but tickets are on sale for UIC. It's at the Forum.
It's at the Forum. So that's the stadium with the stadium seats where they have Wingfest.
Right. Okay. It's not the old one. So don't show up to the.
What is that? What do you
is
call
that? The Forum. Is that one the Forum? And the big one's the Pavilion. The big one's the Pavilion.
The one that's going to, the one that's going to be at now, it used to be called UIC Pavilion.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's called, like, you know, Bank One Forum or something.
Oh, okay. Because the other one's the UIC Forum that it had been at for years.
3,000 at the old joint, 10,000. You can fit 10,000 in this year's joint.
Okay. Damn. All right.
Good for them.
Yeah. Well, we should be drinking barrel-aged beer, but here we are drinking blueberry lavender sour ale from Burning Bush.
Yeah, man, we're taking our time, man. Pacing ourselves, because we're going to be a wreck pretty soon here.
I guess so, yeah. I took a trip down to Burning Bush today, or not today, but this week, and I grabbed some cans. I was like, all right, let's do it. We need something different here. This isn't the half-acre, goose show. We need to spread our wings.
It's ridiculous the kind of like habits we get into, right? Mm-hmm. You go to the same spots, you drink the same beers. This is the sour of Babel. The story of sour of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
Blueberry lavender sour.
And I think it's coming in at like, is it like 6? It's bigger percentage. Yeah, 6.3. So it's pretty big ABV for a sour ale.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know. Usually think sour is like more around 4. But this tastes like juice. Right?
Yeah.
Like it's something you'd have in the morning.
It's slightly tart and refreshing.
Yeah.
And it's got a very nice hue. It's like a nice little purple hue on it. Mm-hmm.
And it had been a while since I had a sour ale. It's just, I don't know, I haven't felt like one, haven't seen one that's really appealed to me. But they had this going, and I got the pumpkin ale when I was there.
They have a pumpkin ale?
Yeah, like a fully spiced, pumpkin spiced, all that stuff. Looking up what Babel is?
Yeah, what's Babel? Because there's nothing on the can about it. I don't know. There's a movie in 2006 called Babel.
The pumpkin spice beer was kind of nice. Like for years. Here we go.
Our reel last week was a pumpkin spice reel.
Yeah, for years I've kind of.
What's going on here, Brad?
I don't know. I poo-pooed pumpkin beers, and I went full basic, and I was like, "Oh, give me that pumpkin spice."
And you liked it.
I liked it.
Okay. Now, do you do flights at this joint, or are you getting full pours like we're doing now with the Babel?
I just went full pours.
Okay.
Never been. Just going all in.
Yeah. I mean, this is a pretty solid space on some, random side street off mm-hmm. of, what is that, like Irving, maybe?
Irving, right on the river there. They don't have access to the river, I don't think. I think the place next to them does. But, yeah, big space, no food. You can order food in for delivery or bring your own food in, but... otherwise, just drinks. They have jerky if you do need food, but there's no kitchen.
Will Turner's jerky? Will Turner's homemade jerky?
No.
No?
Not as good as that.
Okay.
We got some. It wasn't as good as we were hoping.
I like the theme. Like St. Peter's peanut butter porter.
Yeah, that's the other one we got, which we may dive into as we get farther along in the podcast here.
Yeah, but the lavender really mellows everything out. Like... it's not over the top with fruit flavor. It's just kind of got that. It's refreshing the way a fruity thing would be.
Right. I just wish it was warmer out to have this beer. It feels like more of a summertime. I don't know. It's just not cold weather beer.
Like, yeah, this is for brunch, like you were saying.
So that was my stop this past week. You have been all over the place.
You know, I was a local tourist this weekend and spent some time downtown, man. So I hit up two downtown-ish breweries. Well, one is for sure downtown, just a block off Michigan Avenue, Crushed by Giants.
Oh, nice.
So that's the fourth location in the Dry Hop family of breweries.
Okay.
So it's that Dry Hop, what's next door, the pizza joint Roebuck.
Roebuck.
Corridor, which is still my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Crushed by Giants.
Okay.
So Brad and I blocked at the launch party for this because it was right at the beginning of the whole Rona thing.
Right, and we had gotten the Neon Werewolf delivered to us, a growler from Jesse Mambecue.
Yeah, right before he split for Nashville.
Yeah, and so we passed on going to the event. Hindsight, should have went, but that's all right.
Yeah, I got there a little early, so I went into Italy because I was going to go to their brewery. You know, they had one on the second floor. The Libreria, or however you say brew house in Italian. I probably fucked that up. Oh, but anyway, it's permanently closed, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm thinking to myself, how many breweries are proper downtown? So Haymarket is West Loop, but they got a 312 area code on their phone number. But that's West Loop. How many breweries are straight up in the loop downtown?
Okay. In the loop.
Yeah.
On that side of the expressway.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, and I'm like, shit, this is the only crew I can think of. Is Crushed by Giants.
Rock Bottom.
Oh, fuck. We always forget about Rock Bottom.
And Adam Street.
Should have pinged Brad about this shit while I was down there. What's wrong with me? Maybe because I'm never over there. Right? Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. Adam Street and Rock Bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. I fucked that up. Yeah. So Crushed by Giants is in the AMC building.
Okay.
So it was Heaven on 7. You go up the escalator and then boom, you're in a brewery. It's a great location. So when I get there at noon on a Saturday, it's full of out-of-towners. You know, people wearing UNC college gear and, Vikings, Minnesota Vikings jerseys. People that are clearly visiting.
Yeah.
So it was cool. I would say it's kind of a hybrid between Dry Hop and Corridor. The tank.
The vibe or the beer?
The vibe.
Okay.
I think Corridor is better in every way.
Okay.
The beer and everything. But, they got the stackable serving tanks, and then they got, a ton of vinyl, and then, just a clean open floor plan, and just, just a chill hang, But their beers are a little bit different. So there was a cherry sour on. I think that was the best beer there.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're only brewing six beers, so you can get a flight of all six.
So what were the beers besides the cherry sour?
Let's see. I took some pictures. There's Neon Werewolf.
Yeah.
There's a Mexican lager. There's the cherry sour. There's a Saison. And then I got to refer to the pictures. What did I just name? Four?
I just wonder, like, you're like, oh, these beers are different. But they're not different. They're the same. Right? Like, they're not like...
So here we go. Skunky Monkey, West Coast IPA. And then there's Feeling Lovely, which was a wheat ale.
Okay.
We said the Mexican lager. That was called Fifth Sun. They had a Rosé Saison, a cherry sour, and the flagship is the DDH okay. IPA.
So, but they're unique beers to that location, but they're not like, oh, Dry Hop is our lager brewery and Corridor is our hazy and this is our sour. No, they're still brewing the same kind of beer. It could be at any of them.
I think that's fair to say. Yeah. I don't think like they're different. Well, in the case of two of them, they're in different neighborhoods and the theme is slightly different, you know, like where you're, you know, the theme of the establishment is different, but the beers are kind of interchangeable. Like how different is Neon Werewolf from, you know, Shark Eats Hipster at Dry Hop?
Right.
How much different are they? I mean, one's a wheat ale, but they're both like, they have a similar profile.
Right. One's, or yeah. Squeeze It.
Or Squeeze It.
Yeah, I think that Neon Werewolf was better than Squeeze It.
Mm. I'd go the other way. I think Squeeze is good. Or what's the one, oh, the kitten, the electric kitty one at Corridor?
Oh, yeah.
We got something about emits thunder or something.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we'll pull it up. But this was cool. You know, it started as a Mexican, like, kind of new taco bar, right? It was supposed to be like a taco bar brewery.
Okay.
But that theme's out the window because they have, like, six pizzas on the menu.
Where Roebuck is a pizza place.
Right. So they
actually,
got...
I'm like, I feel like they're just the same.
They got the burger from Dry Hop.
Yeah.
And they got the pizza from Roebuck. And they're doing it downtown.
Do they have the salad from Florida?
No. You know, I was at Dry Hop and I told them that, you know, Brad goes nuts over this fucking salad. And it's just such a funny sentence to say. It's kind of like the bread at, you know...
Like, what, lobster? Red Lobster?
No, not the... No, no. Not the Cheddar Bay Biscuits. The bread at that brewery across the street from Solomon's.
Oh, wine, not Weiner.
What's the name? Why can't we remember anything today?
I don't know. I've never been there because they denied me entry because they were closed that day.
Oh, yeah. What's the name of this fucking brewery? Yeah.
Middlebrow.
Yeah. Saying things like you got to try the salad or you have to try the bread are funny until you actually try them. And you're like, well, you know. Pretty good.
Yeah.
man, what were we talking about? Oh, Crushed by Giants. Yeah, something about all the big brand names around them, and they're like, there's very few small independent businesses of any kind.
Yeah.
So their name refers to that.
How big is the space?
They've got big windows. I don't think they got a ton of space.
Okay.
No. As soon as you walk in, the bar is immediately right there. You know, and then they got some booth seating and the gigantic windows overlooking that street. I think that's Rush Street.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So you can see it across from, you can see Italy and you can see it's kind of like this bustling intersection, you know, where Shake Shack and, you know, Big Bowl and all that shit.
Yeah.
You overlook that.
Right, so.
But the space isn't really that big. No.
Okay. I need to go. I just have like almost zero reason to go downtown. Like, it's, I don't work down there. I don't ever meet anyone. It's the only reason if I would need something that, I don't know, at one of the stores there for some reason, or I was getting dinner at one of the places.
It's pretty gross down there. You know, I was walking and I'm just like, man, humans everywhere. And, you know, I was down there early, so I was going to check out the Starbucks. You can forget that. That shit's a full city block long on a Saturday morning.
Okay.
You go to Nike Town. Nike Town's got a much smaller line, so you go to Nike Town. But even when you go in there, it's people everywhere. I'm just like, I know why I'm never over here.
Just order online. Just use the app. Get your Nikes on sneakers.
Yeah, it's funny. I'll hit the sneakers app all the time, and everything you miss out on the sneakers app is for sale at the Nike store.
Okay. So is that why people line up then?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm like, man, these are the last like 6 weeks of sneakers drops. You know, it was just funny. And everything's like five floors. It's kind of funny.
Damn. Okay. But, so you did Crush by Giants, and then you were you went to the new brewery that recently opened that we had their beer on. I don't know, it feels like ages ago now.
Yeah, man. Dunier Fermenta. An artisan project down in Motorola, in the old Motorola space.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was a turnkey operation for them. So Motorola still owns the building, so they're leasing. They are tenants of the Motorola building.
Right, so Motorola is still technically still a thing.
I mean, well,
On
paper, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know, they're just landlords now. Okay. Instead of landlord and brewery, yeah. So they... So they're down there, and I didn't know that they have two resident breweries in Dunier as well.
Yeah, we had both their beers. We had that, like, fermented sour, which is a different name.
Yeah. So there's his clean beers are known as Modern Dune.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the same guy.
Okay.
So Modern Dune is kind of like the Hubbard's Cave thing. Yeah. But then Odia Cellars is brewing out of there, and there's another crew called Dutch Bag that's brewing out of there.
Dutch Bag? That sounds like... It doesn't sound like a very good term. It's not like, oh, that's such a Dutch bag.
Dutch bag brew co, man. Yeah. So Tyler, the guy who started Dunier, he's there. And I don't know if you've been to Motorola, but Motorola was three floors. Top floor was an event space. Second floor was a bar that spans the whole length of the building. But then the first floor is a very small tap room with the brewery behind it.
Okay.
So super small space, probably just as big as the bar at fucking Crushed by Giants. Just like a kind of very, very tight space. I'd say maybe less. It's definitely less than 15 seats.
Okay.
Yeah, like nice and snug. Where was I going with that?
Tyler, what do you have to say?
Oh, he's like, I got the flight, and I'm like, this passion fruit one smells great. And he's like explaining, like, you know, there's connections between wine, cider and beer, and he wanted to explore that. And his inspiration for a lot of this stuff is natural wine. He was working at Lagunitas, and he knew how to dial in recipes, making the same beer all the time, but he really got tired of the same beer profile. So he started drinking natural wine, and that's what led to this project.
Okay.
So apparently, Odia Cellars and Dunier both brewed out of Pilot Project at one point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that.
I didn't know that either.
And so we probably knew this, but Brewer's Kitchen, the Pilot Project,
yeah,
is that's the house brand at Pilot Project. So that's not a resident. That's actually the people who own Pilot Project. That's their brewery.
I didn't know that. That's sneaky.
So apparently, you know, it's just like District Brew Yards, where the house brewery, or, you know, whatever that name is, they make all the beer for everybody.
Well, Burnt City.
Right.
That's Burnt City. Everyone's beer is technically Burnt City beer.
Right. So you come in and give me your recipe, and I brew it for you, and we all share the space.
You can hang around and brew with me.
I think there's only one brewer.
Yeah, but you can hang around.
Oh, and just kind of, yeah.
And help out.
That's true.
Like, add the stuff. So you were also brewing, because you wouldn't want, like, if you were in charge of, like, Bulldog, you don't want all the beers being made, and then you get kicked out and be like, I don't know how to make these. So you're probably there on the brew days making sure you're learning, right?
That is one way to look at it, right?
I would think. I would be like, I want to learn, and I want to make sure, I just want to be part of this.
Brewers will tell you each system is different too.
Right.
So you do want to learn how those beers are behaving on that system, right? That is true. But him not making the beers there didn't sit right with him, you know? And then he's like, well, listen, I'm going to just do this thing over here. So he was contract brewing with Motorola. And when Motorola decided they were done, he just slid in and took the place over.
Damn, baller. That's a baller move.
I like that.
I feel like you're like, you're out. Slap down the cash.
Yeah.
Like, I got this briefcase here. Let's go.
So when you look up Dunier, you know, Dunier refers to a species of deer found in the lush forests of Asgard, where fucking Thor is from. So it's like a...
That was some real nerdy stuff. Okay.
Oh, like, this is some funny shit. So, that's, you know, it's a wildlife theme, like a forest theme. So, you know, they got, like, shrubbery and shit in there.
Okay.
Like, and a bunch of, you know, deer heads and gigantic deer portraits, and all, like, all the tap handles are made of antlers, all this kind of shit. So, but the beers were really good, man.
Yeah, no, when we had the beers on the podcast a long time ago, we liked them. We did that reel with one, I think, or a YouTube video with it. I don't remember now.
I remember you saying, because I had never seen the bottle. Brad brings the bottles, and I think Brad was, like, checking out at some grocery store.
Garfield's.
And the dude's like, those guys are local. Brad liked the way it looked and brought it. And we're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
How about this? So, it was good, man. He was explaining one of the processes for, like, because he gave me something called, you know, Spontaneous Number One. Mm. And it was an oak-aged, co-fermented beer. So he's got, you know, he's fermenting fruit with the beer. And I'm like, are these cherries or something? Because it's got a rich flavor, richer than grape. He's like, no, it's just grape. But he's like, the profile's different, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, so he takes the grapes, and you, if you inject them with CO2 right after you pick them, frozen, like freeze them, it starts the fermentation process. Yeah. So it's kind of a starter fruit fermentation, and that also changes the flavor of the grape. So it kind of gives it, like, this layered, kind of jammy, yet kind of sweet thing. It was really good, and it was kind of, like you said, it was kind of super fucking nerdy and kind of cool. I was excited to be there.
Okay. Neat. All right, I'm going to dive in this porter here. Nick is, you're usually the one that's crushing the beers before me. I'm like, oh, done with that. Let's go. So that's a couple good stops, but then you also went to another in the family of Crush for Giants.
So I had two of the four.
You go, was that just purposefully? You're like, dry hop on the mine because you knew about this event, and you're like, oh, Crush for Giants.
No. I was just, I went into the office for the first time in like 20 months, and the office is downtown. So I think that's how I ended up down there. And the crush, and the dry hop thing just kind of happened to fall a couple days after that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was that dry hop?
Dry hop was Blue Man Group's 30th anniversary. So they made a beer with dry hop called Brew Man Group.
Okay.
So this is an 8% blueberry milkshake IPA. Yeah. This is some bizarro shit.
How'd it look? I saw you share some pictures. I didn't see a picture of the beer.
I got pics.
Throw it up on the IG.
I got pics I need to post. This thing's like electric blue. It looks like a fucking, like, lollipop blue.
Okay.
So it's funny because I see Zoller at the bar, and I'm talking to Mike, and his whole face is blue. His teeth, his tongue, everything, lips, everything's blue.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm like, dude, you look funny as hell. And, you know, his guy's doing the same thing. I look around the room. Anyone who drinks his beer, their whole face is blue from this fucking beer. So Brant's there, you know, and he's kind of director over all the dry hop spots. And I'm like, well, what's going on with this beer, man? And he's like, well, it's 8%, and we use something called Blue Raspberry Magic Fountain.
What is that?
Exactly. So I looked this shit up. It's like some kind of, there's a website called Olive Fountain. I wrote it down. Oh, but anyway, it's like you can get this liquid.
Okay.
It's like a food grade, like, fruit additive thing.
Okay.
It's kind of like when you read the ingredients, it's kind of like the things that you would put. It's the ingredients that you would see on, like, a piece of candy.
So it's like a dye.
Yeah, it's like
a candy dye, because what isn't, like, some of those candies isn't, like, I don't think red, yellow, number, there's a yellow number 5. But
Olive Nation.
I think, like, the red one is, like, some sort of bug that gets crushed up.
So this is what it is. Blue Raspberry Flavor Fountain.
Okay.
So, when you read the description, it says, super strong flavors for baking and cooking. So, it's a top quality blue raspberry flavor. So, it's basically a fruit extract.
What is it made out of?
Let's see.
It's just
water, alcohol, blue number one.
Yeah, blue. It says blue number one. Like, what's in blue number one?
I don't know. What's in yellow number 5? You know, it's like, it's basically like a candy.
Well, one of them is like bugs. Like, one of the food coloring dyes is bugs, usually. It's like red or yellow.
Yeah, I think you're right. I remember these gang members that, like, didn't eat certain candies because they didn't eat, like, pork
if you're
or
like,
something.
If you're like vegan,
yeah,
you're certain food dies.
You're certain you can't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what blue number one to add that as an ingredient. It's like, well.
So it kind of looks like a Slurpee. I saw a guy there.
Yeah. Oh, Blue's Raspberry Slurpee.
It's like a Slurpee. Yeah. So, and then they got these faucets that's, you know, like a slow pour. So he's trying out the slow pour.
With the.
So he's there pouring these beers, and they're coming out like really, really heavy with a nice creamy top. And I'm like, is this a nitro beer too that you made? He's like, well, no, it's on the slow pour. Mm. So they're testing out the slow pour with this beer. So it looks really cool in a glass.
Is this slow pour thing like the new, I don't know, like new Firkin thing? Because we've got Ravinia who has one.
Yeah.
Weren't we somewhere else? Or weren't you talking about someone else had the slow pour thing?
Yeah, I think when you, if you're not a lager brewery where your system's set up to do like different mash temperatures for decoction to get flavors out, if you want to emulate some of that, you change the faucet.
Okay.
Right. So it kind of changes the texture.
So it's like, I know we had like a trend for a while where people were putting like other beers on nitrous to see like, oh, I don't know, you get these different flavors, and that kind of died away. So now I feel like the slow pour trend is now a trend.
Yeah, slow pour, definitely slow pour at Austrian side faucet is what's going on at Dry Hop. So like you said, they basically Dry Hop and Roebuck are all one now. So you walk in through Dry Hop, they walk you to the bar. Yeah. I mean, Roebuck's a way cooler bar than Dry Hop is.
And Dry Hop is like 2 feet.
Dry Hop's like super small.
Yeah. Have two tables.
So this worked out. And then the Blue Man Group's there.
Okay.
So Blue Man Group's, their whole stick is kind of like being nonverbal. If you go to the show, they make you, you know, put over, you know, make you get like, what, plastic and put over your shit, because they use a lot of paint and a lot of like gadgets and shit as part of their act, because they don't talk. So Blue Man Group's there. And the whole mood in this place changes. Like people are just kind of like, the music comes on. It's kind of some slow kind of space, creepy music. Yeah. And then they are there.
Tribal space music. Yeah.
And you just don't know what to make of it all, you know? So it was $10. You get the beer. You get to hang out with Blue Man Group. They go around, take pictures. They do their Blue Man Group thing. They sit at the bar. And then it's over like that.
All right.
So.
What a weird stick to have for like 30 years.
A 30-year run.
We're going to paint ourselves blue, and we're going to bang on stuff.
Yeah.
That'll be our thing, and it took off.
I'm like, you only need to have this thing, this beer, like once. You know, honestly, Goose Island had at Goose Wrigley, they had a beer called Cubby Blue.
Yeah.
I think that was actual blueberry, though.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It was closer to this.
Exactly.
No, that's kind of perfect. We got the blue.
So you go there, you're at a Cubs game, you get the Cubby Blue, because you can only drink it there.
Yeah.
You know, this Dry Hop thing, kind of gimmicky, sure. And you kind of only need it once, because it turns your whole face blue. I mean, for like hours. So like I went out for dinner, and you know, checking in the bathroom, and like hours later, my tongue is still blue.
That's nuts.
Like, this shit is weird. And then see a whole room full of people like doing this is kind of, you know. It was kind of part of the shtick. Like, well, we can't bang on stuff and get everyone messy. So the beer will do that.
Beer will blue your insides.
So it was trippy, man. It was an excuse to get to Dry Hop. So it was cool.
Yeah. Damn. Okay. I don't know. That sounds like a pretty good week. Any other stops?
I don't know, man. I've been running myself ragged, man. Oh, shout out to... what's the name of this crew up in Evanston, man? Double Clutch.
Oh, they open?
Evanston has a new brewery.
Okay.
Double Clutch. Yeah, Double Clutch is, I think that's 4 breweries in Evanston. Smiley Brothers, Sketchbook.
Temperance.
And Double Clutch. Yeah. So Double Clutch, it's like a collaboration between like this restaurant group. I think they said they were Vendelay restaurant group. They got restaurants in Evanston and Wilmette.
Okay.
So this is a brew pub, and then it's a collaboration between them and these dudes who just happen to keep their classic cars at this at this auto compound in Evanston.
Okay.
So it's kind of part car museum, part brew pub.
Nice.
And it's called Double Clutch. This place looks great. It's one of the best looking breweries I've seen in a while. One was up there Sunday.
Uh-huh. I was in Evanston on Was it Saturday, whatever, the day before Halloween, because it was a Halloween party, and I was like, oh, I should pick up some beer at Sketchbook, yeah. But Maeve and I were, like, Oktoberfest people, because we went to Oktoberfest, so we were reusing costumes. I was like, I'm not rolling up to a place in my costume.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Double clutch, cool.
Yeah.
I love the idea of, like, a classic car, and then I also find it stupid at the same, like, there's like a, it'd be very awesome to have one,
yeah,
but then I feel like it's a lot of work and this is a stupid waste.
You gotta have some bread to do that, yeah. Pull that off. It's
they're fun to see when you see someone driving around, because you have to, like, if you have one, you have to drive it around all the time because you got to show it off,
unless you sit at home and just always clean it and that's all you do. That's no fun.
Oh yeah, you gotta drive around.
So all lagers, like a throwback brewery, like no IPAs. They had three Austrian wines on tap, and then they're running us through like all these 12 German classic styles they're gonna make. So right now there's an alt beer, a Marzen, what else? Well, there's a Pils.
Okay.
And then there's a the Rausch beer is coming up.
How did it compare to our resident lager breweries, Dovetail and Metro?
The best Marzen I've had in Evanston is Sketchbooks.
Okay.
And that's hitting them all. Well, except for Smiley. Oh, we forgot about Smiley Brothers. Did we say Smiley Brothers when we called Evanston?
We said it, and we don't need to mention it again.
They quietly opened a spot in Lakeview, a barbecue joint in Lakeview.
Oh, yeah. See, yeah. No one cares.
I would say that's the best Marzen I've had still in Evanston after even trying these is probably still Sketchbooks.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to talk to the head brewer there, and he's explaining how all these parts came together. And I'm like, this is a wacky story. But
even
he's
more wacky than the Sketchbook. Like, we got this cab place and in an alley. Like,
yeah. Because this dude, who's been a home brewer for 20 years, is like going, if I remember this right, that's the problem with not writing stuff down. You just, you know. So this guy is like picking up his kid. His kid goes to the same school as a guy who whose parents run the restaurant group.
Okay.
And they're drinking in the guy's garage. And then they casually mention, like, hey, man, my folks are thinking about opening their sixth restaurant, making it a brewery. So this might work if you want to come meet them. And then the restaurant guys are like, well, instead of just opening another restaurant, let's open a brewery and we keep all these cool cars in Evanston. Let's just open it there. Yeah. And I'm just like, so he volunteered at, cause they got this ABT system, the same one that's at Old Irving.
Oh, okay.
So he volunteered at Old Irving just to get a familiarity with the system. And they actually suggested that he purchase that system. Oh. So he took it for a spin there. And then he mentioned another brewery that he was a resident at, where he just spent time brewing on their system, and then that influenced his decision to buy the system they got.
Okay.
They're going big, man. I want to say like 40 barrel fermenters. Like, it's a very big space.
Well, if it's like a restaurant group that has like five other restaurants, and you basically have all these classic cars to fall back on as like assets. If like, all right, this isn't working this year, we could sell one of these cars.
That's true. That does make sense. And, you know, and speaking of that, you can always sell the beer at all your other restaurants.
Do you think you can use the cars as, like, a write-off for the business?
Brad, I don't even have one car. I've owned one car in, like, the last 10 years.
But if, like, your theme is this, like, double clutch, you have to, like, oh, we bought these cars. Man, that's kind of a tricky.
Oh, you mean, like, was that part of your business plan?
Yeah.
Like, you need to give us money so we can either buy more cool cars or fix up these cool cars we got,
right,
as a part of this venture. That's part of the loan we're taking out to buy all these tanks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your mission like that. Mm. You're probably right. You know what's funny? Side note, speaking of restaurants, you know, and barrel-aged beers, Cruz Blanca, I ran into Lisa Carlson, who used to work at Goose.
Yeah.
I ran into her at Big Star.
Oh, okay.
She works at Big Star now.
Oh, really? That's too bad. Cruz Blanca? She should have stayed there.
Like, why Cruz Blanca? And she said,
why
Big Star? Because Cruz Blanca, the two guys are splitting up. So Rick Bayless is out at Cruz Blanca.
Good.
And then the other guy, whoever his partner was, is staying in Cruz Blanca. His
where's his? It's not Jeremy. It's.
Oh, see, I only know the Rick Bayless guy.
The brewer guy.
Jacob's not a partner. Right. Jacob's still had brewer.
But Jacob's there.
Jacob's there.
All right, that's all I care about.
Yeah, so Jacob's making his beer.
But Jacob left. Then
no. No, Jacob's there. So out is Rick Bayless. In are the guys behind Small Cheval, whatever that restaurant group is.
Oh, yeah. What is that? I forget.
Is that Hawk Salt? It might be.
That sounds okay.
Yeah. So the Small Cheval restaurant group is in. So going forward, those guys.
What happens to the like fish place that's like attached?
I think that's Lena Brava. I think that's Rick Bayless.
Right.
Rick Bayless kept that and Cruz Blanca.
So you're going to have to like door that shit up. Because you can like, from the upstairs, you can like go back and forth. Because it's a shared bathroom.
Yeah, it is a big shared space. Maybe they're still friendly to the point where they share operations a little bit.
Huh.
Maybe.
I'm sure the beers weren't in line with Rick Bayless's Latin branding. Or his, whatever he's doing.
Take a sip here. Interesting. Oh, but the reason I brought that up is because we're talking about restaurant groups. So Small Cheval's thing is all about having more Small Chevals. There's one in New York. I think maybe there's one at United Center. I don't remember. But anyway, that group wants to have more Small Chevals.
But the other Cheval is like 5-minute walk from
right.
Cruz Blanca.
Right.
So are they going to do a double clutch thing and just be like, we want a brewery?
They
want to
do Small Cheval pop-ups. So they're going to leverage Cruz Blanca and do Cruz Blanca pop-ups going forward.
That like hurts my head right now.
Yeah.
But I really like the food at Cruz Blanca.
I like Cruz Blanca too.
I don't want more burgers.
I'd rather see, do I want to see Cruz Blanca's pop-up or Small Cheval's pop-up?
Because I like that Oaxaca, like it's Oaxaca pizza basically, but it's really a giant tostada. That's good.
So I was thinking, like, why would you do that? And I'm like, oh, well, if you do that, you're going to sell more beer because if you got pop-ups everywhere and you offer any beverage, it might as well be the beer that you're making at Cruz Blanca. So if you have Cruz Blanca pop-ups, you're going to sell more Cruz Blanca beer. So it totally makes sense.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about restaurant groups and beer. So that conversation came up this week.
Yeah, you had a crazy week.
I haven't talked this much all day, man.
Damn. All right, so that's what's been going on. What do we got? What do we got coming up? We got FOBAB, like we mentioned.
Yeah.
Get your tickets coming up in about a week. Beguile is now open for inside. You have to show your vax card to get in for all that. I don't know if Dovetail is following the same protocol there. So, if you go to Beguile, you can go to Dovetail. I'm sure they're right there. And there was is Haymarket doing their mini FOBAB? Because it was always the night before or the week of FOBAB?
FOBAB was typically like a week long lead up after a while, right?
So there was other events, and I feel like Haymarket did a mini FOBAB, but I haven't seen anything.
I thought that was like Craft Beer Week, right?
Their mini FOBAB was during Craft Beer Week? I don't know. All right. Any other events you've seen or?
Tickets to Benthic go on sale soon.
Oh, Benthic.
So the variants are vanilla, rum coconut, something called vampire.
Okay.
And then something called extra dulce. No, that's extra double. These fancy ass fucking fonts. Extra double. So.
You going for it?
I don't know, man. I'm still in the hole from this fucking Dark Lord day. Fucking phase three foolishness.
He's going to get them.
I would like them all. Do I want them all? Sure, but I don't know. We'll see.
I want you to get them because I want to drink them.
We'll figure it out, man.
All right. So Benthic's here, and you probably have to go to the big brewery because there's the other one's gone.
Oh shit! There's only one. Half Acre now.
Right.
You're right. Yeah. So, in the upcoming weeks, man, we got Benthic. We got Rev's coming up with their next batch of Deep Woods. Oh, Phobab's coming up, and Dark Lord Day, all in the next 4 weeks.
Damn, and Black Friday.
Oh, shit, and Goose back Black Friday, and the Phase 3 drop. So, no, we are here. Stout season.
Stout season, okay.
Stout season is here, man.
And we're here drinking blueberry sours and like
peanut butter
porters.
You know, our own drum, man.
This peanut butter porter is nice.
Oh, yeah, let me get in there.
But it's very, man, I don't know. I kind of wish it was more viscous-y in the like peanut butter realm. It feels very light with a hint of peanut butter. I feel like Shalanda, who hates porters, she would, this is like ringing home that like hatred.
It's a little thin.
Yeah.
You wish it had more body. Because, you know, P3 has those Imperial Porters. Revolution has a Eugene Peanut Butter Porter now.
Yeah.
I wonder what those are doing compared to...
It's nice, but...
You know, it's got a pretty... It's a decent sweetness. It's a little thin. It's not offensive. It's not bothering me. The texture doesn't bother me as too thin, though.
It's a well-done beer.
And it smells a lot like roast and peanuts. So, there's that.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So, well, we'll be finishing off some peanut butter porter, some sour here, but that's going to do it for this episode. Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Hey, man, I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Look for us at Phobab, Chicago Beer Pass, on Twitter, Instagram. Maybe we'll do a reel at Phobab or something. Or
yeah, man.
Yeah. Live stream, something.
Our first Phobab reel.
Huh? Yeah, maybe we got to come up with something there. Yeah. And yeah, we'll be back soon with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.